And now we have another guest from Israel. His name is Dr. Shimon Janowitz. He's an electrical engineer and independent researcher. Shimon and I have known each other for quite a while now because we have been cooperating on a panel that includes many lawyers and others in the circle of CHD, Children's Health Defense, of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So, Shimon, are you in Israel right now?
Yes. Can you see me?
Yes, we can see you. How are you?
Okay. Okay. Now I look better. I'm in Israel right now. So hello, Rainer, and hello, Vivian. It's good to see you again. Yes, I'm in Israel, unfortunately, because I would very much rather not be here, but. Uh-huh. Yeah, this is it.
So, what's the situation in Israel right now? I saw this. I would like to recommend it for watching. I saw someone had put that together from Israel, a lady, and it's called Vax Testimonies, and there are a lot of people speaking out what had happened to them, like all the side effects from bleedings through thrombosis, through heart problems, neurological issues, and all kinds of things that are really nasty, and people say that. They're still very decapacitated, because incapacitated for what they've experienced just after the vaccination. So, do you see a lot of people with problems right now? What's the status?
The status is terrible. Oh. And we also have in Israel a Corona Ausschluss, and they are compiling data of verse, vaccine adverse effect reaction system, because the Israeli government simply does not provide a reliable verse system or any verse system. And this video that you mentioned, Vivian, it's a very important project by an individual nice lady who collected some 40 testimonies. But the Corona Ausschluss has collected hundreds or maybe thousands of testimonies from people or from their relatives, because in some cases the people are no longer with us, unfortunately. So we have plenty of adverse effects, including deaths. And still, the government uses a rhetoric that is so amazingly fascist. And this is not unique to Israel, but what shocks me is that in Israel, of all places, we should now have a government that is clearly doing such terrible crimes against humanity to its people. And we recently have had a change of government. I heard that you also had elections in Germany.
Yeah.
So we had the new prime minister. Rainer, I don't know if you got into the parliament or not. I hope you did. But,
no, we didn't. We didn't. We did pretty well. And we are now receiving dozens and dozens of reports about voter fraud. We are going to have to look into this. But despite all of this, we did pretty well. We got 735,000 votes, which is very unusual for a brand new party. We've only been in existence for a little over a year. And it looks as though in some parts of this country, we know of two places in particular, we won the majority of the votes, in each case between 24 and 25%, which is pretty good for German standards. But this country is now slipping into Weimar conditions, and it's a big question if this country will be capable of forging a coalition of probably three or more parties. It's a very big question. But maybe that's what the other side want, so that eventually they're going to be able to tell us or make the majority of the people believe, oh, you cannot form your own government, but you have to deal with really important crises, including the corona crisis. And then, of course, the next crisis will be the climate crisis. So it's best if you listen to the European government under the leadership of what's her name, Ursula von der Leyen, who's just another graduate of the Global Young Leaders Program of the World Economic Forum.
Right. So our previous prime minister, Mr. Netanyahu, was a frequent visitor to the World Economic Forum in Davos. But now we have a new, younger prime minister. There is a new breed of young prime ministers. And the situation is not any better, Rainer. Mm-hmm. In fact, they are using the same rhetoric, the same method. It's different coalition parties, different people, but the system, the method stays the same. Mm-hmm. So just to continue on the situation in Israel, we had some terrible incitement by our new prime minister, Bennett. He recently said, all unvaccinated people are like terrorists. Mm-hmm. Sorry, he didn't use the word terrorist. I must be accurate. Are like dangerous people that are walking with machine guns on the streets and are spraying the passerbys with viruses. I mean, what kind of rhetoric? He might as well have used the word terrorist, because yeah. What is the next step? So we are criminals and dangerous people. And does he want to put us in concentration camps? So, you know, in March of 2020, it was clear to me, because one of the things that I do is study history. And I heard you say before, just a few minutes ago, that what I also always say, if we do not learn from history, it's destined to repeat itself,
yeah,
and not in favorable ways. So what I was seeing in March of 2020 was that the entire Western world, including Israel, was suddenly lockstepping from, you know, relatively democratic states to fascist totalitarian regimes. And then we have such rhetoric. And this is very important to me personally, because I am second generation to Holocaust survivors. And I'm a friend of Vera Sharav's. Mm-hmm. And we also are in contact with Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko and others. Mm-hmm. And many of us, because we are Jewish, and because we are either victims, direct victims, or descendants of direct victims of the Holocaust, we want to say we are having a genocidal Holocaust brewing, and we can see these effects or events in the number of people that are dying from the vaccines. So, Vivian, I can tell you a lot more about the situation in Israel. I could even share my screen and show some graphs if you want. But please lead the questions. Ask me what else I can tell you.
Yeah, if you have graphs, I mean, that would be very interesting, you know, because we have these you know, these basically these, you know, stories that people tell about like what terrible has happened to them. But it's I mean, if we can see it in a more aggregated form, I mean, of course, that's very interesting, you know, or like important for others to see what's really going on a larger scale.
Or we hear, for example, Shimon, we hear that, and I've seen reports that 85 or even 86% of the people who are now hospitalized, not because they're cases who tested positive, but because they really have symptoms. 85 or 86% of the people who are now hospitalized with COVID symptoms are those who have gotten the vaccinations. Is that correct?
I think it's even more severe than that. The vast majority of the people who are hospitalized or in intensive care units have received 2 or 3 doses, and I can show you graphs soon, of the Pfizer, and now we also have the Moderna variant of the injectables. I refuse to call these vaccines because all the scientists that I'm talking to are convinced that this should not be injected into people. So to answer your question, yes, the vast majority of people who are hospitalized have been injected, but surprisingly, they are not always developing symptoms of COVID. As I heard you say, COVID is a huge distraction. Now, what is COVID? COVID is a severe acute respiratory syndrome, right? This is what COVID is. It even has a virus after its name called SARS-CoV-2. SARS is severe acute respiratory syndrome. Now, what do we see in hospitals? We see people with strokes, with brain hemorrhages, with myocarditis and pericarditis, with heart failure, with heart attacks. We see people with multi-system inflammatory syndrome. We see organ failure. We see people with cancer. We see women bleeding out of normal menstruation, and we see spontaneous abortions, and we see stillbirths. Such a tragic event. A mother is carrying a fetus for 9 months and then it is born dead because the mother has been injected with this. So there is a whole spectrum, and I also have the report. It's not updated. It's updated as of August 5th of the Israeli Corona Anschluss, and who have compiled reports about what makes people ill. And you can see this is an impressive spectrum of adverse events, most severe of which is death. And it has been said, even on mainstream television, I don't know how it happened, but they have let it slip more than once that the vast majority of those who are in critical or severe conditions are the ones who have received these injections.
Is that beginning to make people become more skeptical? Are people beginning to wonder what is really going on?
Amazingly, not enough, I'm afraid. So there is some, there is an expression in English, being able to connect the dots. So I think that the majority of the people with their cognitive dissonance are failing to connect the dots. We had already a community that is a community of awake people. And for us, this is nothing new. This is expected. And for me personally, I was for more than a year and a half now involved in testing the technologies that are used, such as this. This is a piece of technology that they are using. I can talk more about it later. And I was involved with Dr. Antonietta Gatti in testing. What is exactly on this thing? And so the majority of the people still are lining up to get the third booster dose now. And our Corona Tsar has already stated that we should prepare for the fourth booster, the fourth dose, which is the second booster. So what they said is basically that we should expect that every 6 months there will be another booster shot, because they are so desperate to inject into people something that is so, you know, you have to give it to them. The success rate of these injectables at killing people is impressive. And I have seen, Rainer and Vivian, I've seen your whistleblower video out of a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And you have to wonder how they can get away with such murder and genocide. And people still line up because they want to believe that the government is working for their best interests, which clearly it isn't. And another thing out of Israel is that I think that today is the first. So either on Sunday or 2 days later, they have done two things. First of all, they to manipulate the numbers, they have reinvented the term vaccinated. What it means to be, what does it mean? If you receive one or two doses, does it mean that you're vaccinated? It used to, but not any longer, because the health minister, the new health minister, has explained to the nation that from now on, if you have had 5 months or longer lapse since you got your last dose, no matter what number it is, number two, number three, number four, after 5 months, you are considered not vaccinated. It doesn't matter how many doses you have received, which is, I find, amazing. So if you die, right? So if you die, say, more than 5 months after receiving your last dose, they can classify you as having died because you are unvaccinated. Yeah. That's incredible. In the meantime, the people who are really unvaccinated, I mean, the people who haven't received even one dose, are having their lives made miserable. I am one of them. Mm. We are expelled from all public activities. We are expelled from, from doing sport in our clubs and participating in concerts and events. And what is the next step? Will they prevent us from going to buy food in the supermarket? So this is one thing. So redefinition of the term, what it means to be vaccinated. To be vaccinated means no more than 5 months after your last dose. And then
one question, sorry, because we have the situation here, and in Portugal it's the same, that you have to be vaccinated, and 14 days after that you're counted as vaccinated, you know. So they're also defining, and before that you're unvaccinated. So if you have like anything in, you know, anywhere at any point between the second dose plus 14 days, you're basically unvaccinated. And then you could be considered like an unvaccinated corona infected or sick person. So it's. I mean, do you have something similar? I find it amazing that we have this kind of redefinitions of things that you would normally consider, you know, that we dealt fraudulent. With in a fraudulent, or I mean, that we have the same redefinition process going on worldwide, it seems. That's very strange.
Yes, we have something similar here, and I suspect that this is worldwide.
Yeah,
and
it's a lockstep approach.
It's a lockstep approach, and they have a narrative. The narrative is simple. These injections that I can show you later, we know what's in them. There's a lot of toxins and poisonous stuff in them. These injections, right, they need to build up antibodies in your body, so it takes time. And for example, in the case of the Pfizer vaccine, you take one dose, and then you have to wait 3 weeks to get the second dose. In my case, because I'm not vaccinated, and even after the second dose, you're still not vaccinated because you have to have antibodies. You don't have sufficient levels of antibodies, whatever that is, against some kind of fraudulent pathogen that is obviously a distraction. Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to what you said, Vivian, that you know, you have to wait. If you die 2 weeks after the injection, you didn't die of the injection because maybe you still didn't have enough antibodies. But then again, after 5 months, you have to be injected again. Otherwise, you again enter a classification of unvaccinated. This is all amazing.
The newest trick here is, and I wasn't even aware of that because I can't bring myself to look at the multitude of different laws and legal regulations because they're all contradictory. They make absolutely no sense. But the newest trick is anyone who has symptoms is not vaccinated. Because if he were vaccinated, he wouldn't have any symptoms. I mean, how stupid do they think we are? And I think in many cases, they're probably correct that there are many more stupid people amongst us than we've ever been aware of.
Unfortunately, you have got to give them credit. They are manipulating people that demonstrate a level of, I don't know if what is the right term, stupidity, brainwashing, or hypnosis, or mass psychosis. All these terms could potentially be applied to all these people who simply cannot connect the dots, and they are failing to see what's going on. So I was trying to talk to my friends who are, as we call, asleep, and they say to me, please, enough, we don't want to hear it anymore. Mm-hmm. And we tell you that when they come up with the third, the booster shot, and then the other shots, we will continue to get them. And not only that, we don't want to talk to you anymore. We don't want to even to see you. Mm-hmm. So in the Jewish holiday season that we just had in Israel, I could not visit my family and members and friends because they don't want to see me. And I couldn't, in the archery club that I participate, I have many trophies. You see, I can even show you here in trophies of, you know, archery. Mm-hmm. I have some bigger ones also. Here is one. Okay. So I cannot participate in this archery anymore. But what is more amazing is the rhetoric of some of the other members in the club. They say that even if you could participate, we don't want you here. You are a threat, you're a danger. And they cannot conceive of the fact that what puts them at great danger is the injections that they have been given. One thing I want to tell you about the injections is that I have identified a mechanism in the toxins, in the injections, that can be perhaps described as a biphasal effect, a two-stage effect. It's like a two-stage missile. The first effect is rather immediate. Immediate means it can happen from within an hour or 2 or 3 weeks after the injection. But those who are still okay after 3 weeks, they should not feel safe at all, because I can see that there is some sort of a secondary effect that is lurking in their bodies. And I also want to relate to the somewhat similar findings that we had from the pathologist in Germany. I saw your video there, Vivian, with the German pathologist, and they have identified in the corpses of the victims some of the nanotechnology or the microtechnology that we have previously found in the injections. And there are yet more things that need to be found in the corpses, and we found them in the in the injection. So I anticipate that there could be some, and we, in fact, we see exactly that. Some people are getting injured. Injured means either heart attack or stroke or myocarditis or death within 2 or 3 weeks. And some people get it within 2 or 3 months, and some people are even later than that.
But and, you know, with regard to the pathology conference, I mean, just to, you know, my understanding was that they have not identified any nanoparticles or anything like that. I think they in one body, there was a little metal thing that they detected, but it was unclear if it was connected to the vaccination process. That's not, that has to be, you know, further investigated. But I think so far there's no connection. They were just wondering. But other than that, that what they, I mean, basically found was a lot of blood clotting and you know, these inflammatory processes and like this lymphocyte storm effects, you know, these kind of things. But it's definitely, I mean, we looked also at the in the corpses themselves. I mean, we had pictures of photos, what people saw, like videos, what people saw under the microscope when looking at the vaccines. But that was like also preliminary. I mean, just to sort of introduce these pictures to the world. And then, you know, it was also a call to action, obviously, for other scientists and researchers to look closer at what's going on. And, you know, and there was like, I mean, in the vaccines, this university that's still working undercover, this team there, they said there was like metals like iron and I think it was chrome and third one, nickel. I don't know what's that in English. Maybe the same. I don't know. But so yeah. That was clear that, you know, there's something that's maybe that's just,
lots of stuff that doesn't belong in there.
Yeah, that seems at least, you know, raises questions like why it's in there. But I mean, so far, no nano stuff in the sense of like really has been found to that extent, you know, nanoparticles in the sense of like really that it's a robot or like a nanobot or whatever. I mean, that would be very interesting, of course. And I know that a lot of people are investigating maybe also with this in mind, but that's nothing that was proved or like shown at the pathology conference. But of course, also for you, if, I mean, any pathologist from Israel and other places in the world is obviously invited to get in touch with us or like with the pathology.
I think we should all connect, Shimon. Well, we should all connect. We must all connect. All of the scientists, yeah. All of the doctors, all of the lawyers. We have to have our own panel. And even if it's only in preparation for what is bound to happen eventually, which is the International Corona Tribunal. I don't care if you call it Nuremberg 2.0 or whatever, but I think that's what we're going to need because, as I pointed out to Judge Dr. Castro from Portugal, you've listened to much of what he said, I presume. As I pointed out to him, we in our individual countries, most of the judiciaries in our individual countries, certainly the one here in Germany, probably the one in Israel as well, is compromised because they have stacked the courts with their own people, not just over the last year and a half, but over at least the last 10 years or so. So we have lots of difficulties to overcome. It still makes sense to file cases, probably much more so now in the United States than at the beginning of the pandemic because people seem to be waking up quicker there than here. And the society is, of course, much more polarized than ours because I think about 50% of the people, maybe more, have already woken up and will not play along anymore, even public servants. But you haven't said anything about the judiciary in Israel. Are they under control of the mainstream media and of Mr. Global, or how would you describe that situation?
You described it very well. I think that they have been building up. You know, I've researched for about 25 years what was going on in the world. So it's more than a decade. They have placed their own people everywhere in the judiciary system, in the military, in the police system, in the government, in the parliaments, everywhere. And I think that the judiciary system in Israel I wouldn't say that it's almost like it's non-existent. Theoretically, it exists, but you know, if you submit, and some people are filing some lawsuits to the Supreme Court, they get automatically rejected. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no real discussion at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm not particularly interested in the personal criminal or three criminal charges against former Prime Minister Netanyahu, but I can tell you that his own personal trial is not taking place at all. It's like a joke, mm-hmm. right? So it's like all the establishments of the state are collapsing, and I feel that pretty soon we'll have the financial system collapsing. But in terms of the judiciary system, it is very sad what's happening here. And Rainer, I suspect that it's pretty much the same everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think this can only be solved, as you said, by joining forces internationally, because no one country can solve such problems on its own. We need to cooperate across the globe. And I'm trying to do that by participating in those groups, international groups, where I had the pleasure of meeting you and such groups, so that I can try to contribute to this kind of cooperation to help create a global movement that might have more power than local, national movements that are failing. Mm.
Yeah, failing is the right word, because there is an in-between. There's not just black and white. There's also some shades of gray in between. And some people, even from our judiciary, are stepping out into the open and are openly discussing the failures of the judiciary. However, they're only discussing it in legal terminology. They're talking about proportionality. They're talking about how our federal system is being eroded because we have only one commander in chief, so to speak. The governors of our individual states have practically no power anymore because they only do what the chancellor has been telling them, at least over the last year and a half. So I think the most important step to take is the one from, oh, there are lots of mistakes being made, to, oh my God, this is being done intentionally. Because once you have taken that step, you are beginning to take the right measures. But the most important one, I think, is that we all need to connect. We have to, I guess what we have to do is we have to shape our own parallel society. And step forward with good examples of setting up a new judiciary, a new education system, a new medical system, whatever it takes. But the most important thing is to connect, exchange our ideas, and then come out with something that is positive and something that is attractive to all of those who are still hesitating. Because I know from what you're telling me and from what Dr. Castro from Portugal tells us, that there are many people who are having serious doubts but are not speaking up. And if we can show them what's really going on, and also if we can go forward and show them that we have an attractive, a really nice new society coming up on the horizon, appearing on the horizon, I think that'll win many people over.
I absolutely agree. So the institutions of our society are failing us. And I'm talking about the governments, the judicial system, the schools, even the hospitals, Rainer. You know, one thing I wanted to mention that's happening in Israel is that they have started injecting into people some medication called remdesivir. Right. And this remdesivir, if you go to hospital and you have, you know, just a minor respiratory symptoms, by means of this fake PCR test that we know it's fake, We know it has nothing to do with any kind of a virus or anything. And you can, if you control the number of cycle, you can make, you can find with it anything that you want. So if you, if they turn you to a COVID case, even if you're not very sick, they can then inject you with remdesivir. And we, I think that Ulrike Kammerer has given me a figure of between maybe 11%, as much as 11% of the people, if not more, who get injected with remdesivir are dying. And they're not dying because of COVID. They are dying because of the toxicity of remdesivir. And Vivian, I can show you the photos of the nanoparticles. You need to understand that not all nanoparticles are nanorobots. There is a difference. Nanoparticles can just be very fine dust.
Yeah, I'm but, really curious to see that. You know, you
okay,
also.
So I will, maybe I will show you in a second. I just want to echo what Rainer has said. It is obvious that our health system, our judicial system, our government system, our education, all of these systems are failing or have already failed. And in Israel, I guess that in many other countries, people are taking their children out of the school system. There is also, some of them are afraid because our government has let a group of vaccinators enter the school to vaccinate the over 12-year-olds in school. Why not? And so many people, parents think that they can submit some form of objection, but they're afraid that peer pressure and group pressure might get their children to get the jab. And we know that it's not good for their health. So before I move to the nanoparticles, I would like to echo, Rainer, what you said. We need to build an alternative society, and we need to do it globally. And I don't know about the Nuremberg trials. Obviously, there are crimes against humanity being committed. But even the International Criminal Court in Hague, right, is staffed by their own people. So it has been rendered useless. It's not functioning. There are quite a few appeals submitted from Israel, from France. They're not being listened to. They're not being heard in court.
The problem, Shimon, with the one case that was filed, with the one complaint, criminal complaint that was filed with the International Criminal Court by a group of Israeli lawyers, is that they are not part of the International Criminal Court, just like the United States are not part of that court system. But that doesn't mean that their case cannot be brought to the attention of the International Criminal Court. We know that there are a group of non-lawyers, they call themselves human rights defenders, and they've been working on a case to be brought before the International Criminal Court. They've been working on this case for, I think, over a year now, collecting all the evidence, including evidence from Israel. So something is going to happen there. I told them the same story. I told them that most of the international courts have been stacked by the likes of George Soros and Bill Gates. But they're saying, well, there's still enough people left who we can rely on. We'll see. We'll see. But they're still working on it. I do believe that ultimately we will only succeed on an international level. For example, if we file cases in India, in South Africa, now in the United States as well, ultimately it'll take an international corona court, which will probably have to be set up either on extraterritorial grounds or in a place where they will not interfere. And we're also, Viviane and I are also thinking about talking to more politicians now, because there are lots of politicians who are also willing to come forward. The first one was one from a from California. She's a member of the board, Sue Frost, member of the Board of Supervisors of Sacramento County. And she was the example which two active and former politicians from Sweden then followed and talked to us. And I think there are more people who are willing to come out. Now, the latest piece of information that should push people in our direction or towards a international connection is what I just heard from, I think this was on Fox News by Tucker Carlson this morning. And he tells us about plans of President Biden to punish every employer who has someone working for them who is not vaccinated with a fine of $700,000. I don't know if you've heard about this. Totally insane. I don't think this is going to this. I think the other side is in serious trouble. And if you look at the scales, if you look at the if you look at how hard they're pushing, they're raising the pressure ever more and more. And at the same time that they're doing this, our side, the people who are maybe not necessarily on our side yet, but are thinking about, is there something wrong here? The level of people, the number of the people who are asking questions is going up as well. So I think this is their last breath. This is their last gasps. It's going to go on for a little while longer, but I think it's we're coming close to a turning point. I know that a lot of people have been saying this for a long time, but you have to take into consideration they have had probably more than 10 years, probably 20 or 30 years to prepare for this. And we have had a year and a half to understand what's going on. So that may be one of the reasons why it's taking us so long. But it is building up there. There is a momentum that's building up and there's a movement that's building up. And we're now in touch with active politicians from all over the world. And I think more and more of them will be speaking out and connecting with each other, thus shaping a new type of society, which is totally different from what they have in mind with their Great Reset.
Yeah. So these words of careful optimism on your part, I think are very important, especially in Israel, but probably everywhere, because many people, myself included, are losing we lose heart. We notice what's happening and we are getting very depressed. On the other hand, as you said, Reiner, there is some change in the, you know, some people who were injected who had a heart attack, but they survived. Mm-hmm. Suddenly they're saying, I'm not going to take the third jab. Mm-hmm. Show me, mm-hmm. Show me what's in there. So, okay, I can say to them, good morning. We are happy to have you woken up. Would you like to see what's in the injectables?
Yeah.
So more and more people are waking up to that. And more people are, not enough, but there is a gradual motion towards people asking questions and connecting the dots and realizing that this is a fraud. Mm-hmm. And this is what's called a scamdemic. And all the methodologies, the fake PCR test and the shutting up of our mouths, as was the case in the Spanish flu era. Corvin here told me, would you like to speak about your research on the Spanish flu? I can speak a lot. So they have prepared this, I think, from at least 1918, which is when the Spanish flu broke out. And my research showed that the Spanish flu was caused by lethal injections, right? So I have the papers to show, to prove, and I also made a video. And what did they do during the Spanish flu in 1918? They asked people to go with face masks. So, yeah, I think that they have been preparing for this for a long time.
What was the effect of the face masks during the Spanish flu?
No effect whatsoever. Since the Spanish flu was caused by lethal injections, many of the people who got in, all of the people who got injected got sick. Mm-hmm. Not all of them died, but many of them died. Nobody who did not receive an injection ever died in that pandemic. So there, the whatever was calling the people, causing the people to die, was the toxin, were the toxins in the injection, and this was not contagious. So what good were the face masks? The face masks were, as they are today, a means of either controlling the population, disciplining the population, or in the case of the current face masks, I can describe here there are nanoparticles. If you take an electron microscope and look at this lining, you see this has two sides. There is an outer blue side and there is the whiter lining in the inside. The white lining, as we saw with the electron microscope, you cannot see that in an ordinary microscope because nanoparticles, by their definition, are too small to be seen with an optical microscope. Mm-hmm. But if you look at this with an electron microscope, suddenly you see a whole world of nanoparticles, in this case, titanium dioxide. And I can tell you that it is very unhealthy and even toxic to your body, to your lungs, because what's happening when you put this mask on, you start inhaling all these nanoparticles of titanium dioxide, and from your lungs they can, you know, they can expand to your entire body, and then they become cytotoxic. There is a new kind of toxin in the world. It's called cytotoxicity. It means that it's not like an ordinary poison. It's just like a bullet from a gun that is so much smaller than you, but it penetrates your body or the skin of the cell, the envelope of the cell. It goes into the cell, and then the cell can go through apoptosis and die from within. And this is amazing. So it's not just the injections. It's also the face masks. And I think that during the Spanish flu, they just used any scarf or whatever, or cotton, simple fabric. But these are mass manufactured somewhere, maybe probably China, and with this toxic white lining that you can see here. The titanium dioxide is a famous whitening agent. I think you can find it in toothpaste. And so during the Spanish flu, people died, not from a virus, from lethal injections. And we can draw the parallel. And what happened? The authorities told the other people, put face masks on or go to jail. At some point, if you would like me to share my screen, please say so, and I will show you some photos. But the face masks are not just useless, Vivian, not just useless. They are harmful. They are bad to the health. They are bad for breathing. They contain nanoparticles. And we should get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a result of a study that had to be retracted because of the pressure that was applied on the authors of the study. One of the authors, we had him here, is Professor Valak. And one of the things that makes these masks dangerous, apart from the fact that this is something brand new to me, that there's titanium dioxide in there, is that the CO2 concentration, carbon dioxide concentration behind the mask is 7 times higher than what is legally considered healthy. So there's many, many more aspects to this. I know you mentioned that in one of the CHD sessions that you suspect that there's also harmful material in the PCR tests, in the swabs rather. And I think we will have to look into all of this in detail, but this will have to be done in a, while this is being done on the sidelines already, just like the autopsies and the press conference that was being held on this, on the autopsy reports. I think it included 11 people or 10 people who had died after vaccination. I think ultimately we will have to do this in a controlled environment, under conditions of a legal proceeding. And we will have to set up this, we will have to come up with our own legal proceeding, which will probably be, along the lines of the Anglo-American legal system, the American legal system, because of the several disadvantages it has over all the others. Well, we could go on like this probably for many hours. One thing, however, that I wanted to ask you, because there's so much pressure on anyone who is not in line with the government and the official narrative. All of us, including Viviana, one of her relatives, died in a concentration camp. In all of us are being labeled as right-wing Nazi. This is happening all over the world, except in Israel, because you can't do that there. You're probably being labeled, I think Ilana Rachel Daniel told me that people who are not in line with the government there are being labeled as left-wing fascists or something. One thing that I wanted to ask you, Vera Sharaf and Rabbi Smith from New Jersey, whom we had on our session, and also, of course, Ilana Rachel Daniel, they all told us that we must, and this I think is in line with what you said, we have to learn from history or else it's going to repeat itself, and not in a very favorable way. We must not look away from what we can see in the distant past. It's not so distant. It's 80 years ago. Would you agree with this phrase that it is not us who are trying to point out what's going on, who are trying to find out what is really going on, who are the actual right-wing fascists, but it's the other side who are trying to cover up what's going on?
I would absolutely agree with that. And I would even say further that they would have us mix right-wing and left-wing. I can tell you, Rainer, in my experience, all the political right and left are a show to distract us from what is going behind, what is going on behind the scenes. And behind the scenes, there is no left and right. Mm-hmm. What we have now is a worldwide Nazi fascist government. And I think that in Israel, many people would point a finger at me and say, how dare you? The Holocaust was sacred. Do you know, Rainer, I cannot go to enter the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem because I have no green passport. So what if not that demonstrates what the Holocaust has become? Something sacred that you cannot talk about, because if you talk about it, maybe people would wake up and see that it is repeating itself. So it is people like me and like Vera Sharaf and people who are Jewish who are allowed, and I'm calling on all the people of the world. You have my permission, my personal permission as a Jew, and I'm the second generation of my late parents were survivors of World War II and the Holocaust, and they came to Israel because they didn't realize that their son, meaning me, and would be persecuted here for not complying with the regulations and the vaccination regulations. And my brother and sister, I feel as if I lost them. I lost my family in the Holocaust, the current Holocaust, not the one of 80 years ago, because they are not talking to me and I cannot visit them. They are vaccinated, what is, you know, in quotes, vaccinated. Still, they are afraid that I would infect them. I'm not vaccinated and I'm not afraid. They are vaccinated, yet they are afraid. And so I would totally agree that we need to look the reality in the eyes and say, we have potential catastrophe on a magnitude even bigger, much bigger from the Holocaust of 8 years ago that is brewing. Mm. It's about to happen. If we don't do something, what is the next step? Will we have concentration camps? They can call them any other different names that they want, like re-education camps, like they had in communist China, or forced vaccination camps or whatever.
This is what you will say.
That's what they will say, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, dear people of the world, our basic human rights are being taken away from us in this totalitarian, fascist, Nazi, global agenda regime. And all these, you know, these pieces of BS masks are being put on us to make us even sicker, not to be able to breathe oxygen properly, not to be able to expel the phlegm, you know, coughing and excreting phlegm are basic healthy activities of the human body. When someone coughs, it is the body telling itself, I want to get rid of something bad that is built inside my bronchial tubes or my lungs. Why do you want to prevent us from breathing and from expelling all these things? This is totalitarian on the most basic level. And I think, Rainer, that you represent one of the strongest advocates of this change that we must lead in order to stop this, if we can.
We will do our best. We will continue until it stops. We're the ones who are going to say when it's over, not them. And we will not ever relinquish. We will not give up under no circumstances. Well, Shimon, I hate to cut you off, but John O'Looney, the Undertaker, has been waiting, and we're gonna be in touch anyhow.
I would like to let's stay in touch with the regards to this, you know, the pathology and this investigative vaccination thing. So maybe you can update me on your findings. I'll send you an email, and then I can connect you to the pathologists as well.
And if you will allow me just one final sentence.
Sure.
I'm working with Antonietta Gatti and other scientists who are having, and Dr. Kerry Medei. We need, Rainer, as you said, and Vivian, thank you. We need to exchange samples because it's not easy to get. And we need to get to do this in an official, controlled way. And so we can share our findings, and in this way, we can teach our fellow citizens of the world what is going on.
We will. We will. We're probably going to meet tonight again, right?
I hope so, yes.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much, Shimon. This was important, once more important, because it is particularly disturbing for me as a German and for many other Germans as well. To have to realize that we started this again. I mean, it's just a puppet. Professor Drosten. We know he's just a puppet, but he's the one who invented the now infamous Drosten test. And it's not just that we started it, but we're the ones with the toxin as well, because it's BioNTech. It's a German company. And we find that it is our responsibility to do as much as we can, anything we can to stop this, and we will. We will.
So thank you very much for your wonderful activities and contributions, and thank you so much for having me on this program.
Thank you for your help, Shimon. We'll talk again. Okay.
Thank you.
See you later.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye-bye.